Come on, give thanks unto the Lord. Sounds like you guys are having a good time out here, amen? Come on, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Well, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I just want to brag on you a little bit and what the Lord's doing in your life. You know, all the negative stuff that's happening in our world, if we're not careful, that's all we see. Sometimes we got to turn the table on the devil and say, no, I'm going to start focusing on some good stuff, what God's doing. Amen. And so let me just brag on you a little bit. This past Thanksgiving, because of your generosity, many of you gave, many of you brought turkeys, many of you volunteered. Some of you might not know what we're talking about. Just act like you do, and we'll just say you're part of the team anyway. But you were able to minister and give full, complete Thanksgiving dinners, the turkey, the dressing, the dessert, the sides, to 64 needy families in the church and community. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And so God bless you for being generous to help people. Some you might know, most you probably don't even know. Some that we know in the church, some we don't even know that are in the community. Because it's not a matter of just reaching out to the ones we know. It's showing the love of Jesus, the people that don't even know Jesus. And to me, that is one of the greatest ways to preach the gospel, is to minister to the needs of people. In fact, Jesus answered the question when they said, who's my neighbor? And he said, the person who shows mercy to those who are in need. And so God bless you for that. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready for the word today?
Yes.
All right, put your hands together. Let's get going. Psalms 136:1 was our key verse last week. We'll key in on that again today. Psalms 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. If you have your Bibles, turn there, or you can look at the screen, say that with me again. One, two, three. Come on, let's work together. Don't get ahead of me. I know you're excited. One, two, three. Give thanks unto the Lord,
for He is good, His love endures forever.
All right, one more time and say it really loud, because you need to hear it in your own ears, in the name of Jesus. One, two, three, go. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you today, for you are good. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of storms, in the midst of good days and bad days, questions and doubts, answers and conclusions, Father, we thank you that one thing we know for sure, without any question or doubt, and that is you are good, and your mercy endures forever. So we choose to thank you today. We choose to thank you today, Father God. We give you thanks today, Father God. Even when we don't understand everything, or sometimes not even anything, we still give you thanks, for you are good, and your mercy, your goodness, and kindness endures forever. Now open up our heart today, Father God. And I ask that you just kind of help us uproot the stuff that the world's trying to plant in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to plant, Father God, the stuff that you want us to have in our life. We thank you for goodness and kindness and joy and peace and rest. We thank you for the fruit of your spirit. We thank you for love, Father God. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Father God, that you're going to speak into our life today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Give thanks. You know, sometimes it's hard because many times we want to give God thanks when we feel thankful. But it didn't say give thanks because you feel thankful. It didn't say give thanks because everything's going your way. It said give thanks. It starts with Him, for He is good. Last week we talked about Thanksgiving is really not a luxury. It's really a necessity. If we want to see life change, if we want to see our lives get better, if we want the quality, not only quantity of our life, and many times people strive for more quantity and praise God for quantity, but you got to make sure you get the quality, because the world can give you quantity, but it adds sorrows with it, the Bible says. God said, I'll even bless you and not add sorrows to it. Someone say amen to that. And so God wants your life to be expandable and continue to expand into your influence and your blessing and your wisdom and your skill and your influence to keep expanding those horizons and those boundaries, but he'll do it in a way that it doesn't bring all the heartache that the world does when you do it the world way. God's way is always a better way. And God will ask you to do stuff that in the natural you don't fully understand. Something like this: give thanks. Lord, I don't feel thankful right now. I'm mad. I don't feel thankful right now. I'm hurt. I don't feel thankful right now. I'm a little confused. I don't feel thankful right now. I have some questions I like answered. And God said, if you really want to get to the conclusion, the source, the solution to all this, then begin correctly. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because just complaining doesn't help. It actually digs us deeper. Giving thanks brings us to a whole different perspective. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And there's times in our lives that we'll look around and we don't see anything. God, I'm not seeing anything. God said, I want you to still give thanks. Not for the bad, but for the one who's good. Yes. Don't give thanks because something bad happened to you. Give thanks if you don't have anything else, because he is good. Yes. We see that in a couple verses. Because what we're going to find out today is that what you're praying for, what you're needing, what you're looking for, that miracle something, we can say it this way, your miracle something is usually found in your nothing. Come on. In 2 Kings 4, there's a great story, and it's the prophet of God comes to a woman who's a widow woman, has nothing, but she needs something. And she goes to the prophet. It's like you going to God in prayer. And the prophet says, what do you have? And I love it. The text even says that her response is, I don't have anything. I have nothing. Don't forget, your miracle something is going to be found in your nothing. Your miracle something will be found in your nothing. And the prophet said, what do you have? And she said, I don't have anything. I have nothing except, I love that. Because if you work, you know, based on your temperament and the way you see life, some of you are great storytellers, some are very exact. Some of you like numbers, the world's very absolute, it's very dry cut. Some of you don't have those boundaries or dry cut. Everything's more flamboyant. If you want a good story, find somebody who's outgoing and sanguine. They make everything so much bigger and better. Come on, somebody. If you want to know accuracy but not have the flavor and the color to it, you know, find somebody who's really to the point. And I love the fact, because on one side, when she says, I have nothing, to me, my temperament would be, okay, that means absolute zero. But she continued on and said, I have nothing except. Wait a minute, then you have something. Because you said you have nothing, but then you put the word except to it, and that tells me that there is something where you see nothing. There's something where you see nothing. See, what she was doing and what she was struggling with was that she saw nothing, even though there was something. She had devalued her something to the place of nothing. She was basically saying, I don't have anything that you can use. I don't have anything that God could start with. All I have is this. So she wasn't saying I have nothing from the sense that there was absolute nothing. She was saying I have nothing because I don't have anything that would create the miracle for my something. And the prophet says, what do you have? And I have nothing except for some oil, just a little bit of oil, not much oil. What is your nothing that you're dealing with today? God, I need this. God, I want that. And God, most of the time you'll see through Scripture, God will always start with where you're at. What do you have? I have nothing to help you with, God. And our problem, I think, is in our area of our logic. You know, sometimes we can be so smart we can hurt ourselves. Come on. Because you go to school and we learn that things add up. 1 + 1 = 2. Come on, you're doing good. 2 + 2 = 4. See, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Things add up. It only makes sense. But God said, what do you have? You say, I don't have anything, because we know the conclusion. Yeah. We know the sum. And if we have nothing, what do we add to nothing to get there? I have nothing that can help me get to the conclusion. I only have a little something, and that little something's not enough to get me to what I'm needing. We see that being played out also in the Gospel of John chapter 6, where Jesus noticed the need of the multitude and said, there's a lot of people. The Bible says 5,000 men. That's not counting women and children. It could be 10, 15, 20,000. Don't matter. If they had reality TV and they had 19 kids and counting, it could be 30, 40,000. We have no idea. Come on, somebody. We just know how many. So we're seeing 5,000 men. Not counting women and children. And Jesus noticed they've been with him so long, so hungry that they, for the word of God, that they even ignored their natural desire for food. That didn't mean that they weren't hungry. Something happened that Jesus noticed or knew. He might have perceived it. By the Spirit, he might have noticed these people are passing out. What's going on? We don't know. He noticed that they were hungry enough, and he looked at the disciples. Most of us know the story. And he said, hey, how much would it take to buy food for all these people? And one of the disciples stands up and says, it's going to be 6 months' salary, Lord. What do you have? We don't have anything. We have nothing to fix that. All we have is a little boy's lunch. And I want you to know, if either story, New Testament, Old Testament, prophet or Jesus, feeding the multitude or helping the widow, something that is a common thread is in both cases, the problem was obvious, but the solution was hidden. They both were going to God. They both had evaluated the situation. We see our problem. We know what we need. We know what we don't have. When someone asks, we can quickly tell what's missing in our equation. But the question is, and the struggle is, what do we need to get to the conclusion of what we're praying for, what we're believing for? God, I need more money. God, I need a healing. God, I want to get married. God, I like to have a good friend that's not going to stab me in the back. God, I want some peace. God, I like to have some joy. We can know what we want, but we don't know how to get there. And so because we don't know how to get there, many times our human natures, we start creating our own path. We start carving out our own path. And we find ourselves, if we're not careful, spending years going down a path that God never asked us to go down because we thought that that path would get us to what we want.
Come on.
And many times people spend their whole life trying to strive for stuff just for to get happiness. They tell us that some of the people that are on Skid Row are not people that just whole life were unachievers, but people that literally reached the top. They spent their whole life climbing that ladder because they were so convinced that if they climbed the ladder and finally hit a level of success that they would be happy and they would have peace and they would have all the money that would bring them joy, and they finally got there only to find out that they were still the same person, empty.
Yeah.
And they didn't know where to turn, and so they went to alcohol and drugs. Knowing what's missing is not the difficult part. Knowing what's wrong is not the problem. Knowing how to get to what is right brings the challenge. How do you see your career get better? How do you see your marriage get better? How do you see your health get better? How do you see your finances get better? How do you see your kids grow up to be those healthy individuals that love God and making a difference in their world? We know what we want. We know what we don't have, but there's a connecting path. And God says, through both stories, what do you have? And they have nothing but a little boy's lunch. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
I have nothing but a little oil. Let's start with that. And God gave instruction to start with something that they thought was nothing. I'm telling you, right now, right where you're at, everybody has something that we're praying for.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, right now, right where you're at, each and every one of us have something that God wants to use.
Amen.
To bring us to our miracle.
Amen.
Your miracle something is in your nothing. You might not see it. You might not be aware of it. But the goal today is for us to begin to perceive, God, what is that something that I've considered nothing that you want to use? And we know the story about the little boy's lunch, and they gave the lunch to Jesus. And the Bible says that he broke it and did what? And gave thanks. Can you imagine what the disciples must have been feeling? Judas is probably thinking, "Woo, this is going to save me a boatload of money. They were going to ask me for 6 months' salary." Thomas is probably saying, "This is never going to work." Peter's probably saying, "If it works, can I take the credit and say it's my idea?" But he took something that was nothing, and notice what he did. He gave thanks. He thanked God for what that which seemed to be not enough when he was facing a problem that was needed and more than enough. And as he thanked God, then he took it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it, and there was more than before.
Yes.
See, what does God do? God starts with your nothing that you're willing to say, "Okay, God, it doesn't seem important to me. This is not any value. There is nothing here that you can use to do that. I'm just telling you," God said, "trust me."
Amen.
Begin. Trust me. "No, Lord, I'm telling you, I've seen this before. I need a lot to get to there. I need the right connections, and I need a whole lot of money, and I just need the right advisor. I just need a perfect scenario, situation for you to take me from where I am to where you want me to go."
Come on.
God said, "No, you don't." But I've seen people, that's the way they did it. They had these five steps that have got to follow, and I don't even have four of the five. I'm just starting. God, I don't have anything. God says, "What do you have?" "I have nothing." Let's start with that. Because at the end of the day, one of the greatest revelations you can have is that your path might be carved totally different than anybody else's path, but one common thread, if you're going to do it, it's God's way, and that's God himself.
Amen.
When you follow God and let God walk you through the process and let God direct you, let God empower you, and let God do what only God can do, it's amazing how Jesus can bring you through the valley of shadow of death or climb to the top of a mountain. It might be different for every person, but when you're following Jesus, it's amazing how he can take you from where you're at to a whole nother level. And there'll be people later that will ask you, "How do you do it?" Because we want to follow that path. But that path might not work for them, because the key is not just in the method or the path. The key is in him.
Yeah.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Say, "Give thanks,
to
the Lord,
for he is good."
Your miracle something is found in your nothing. Say, "My miracle something,
is
found in the midst of my nothing." Say again. Say, "My miracle something,
Is found
in the midst
of my nothing."
Psalms 104. Tells us this. We're going to talk about why this makes such a difference. Psalms 104, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Now, when you're talking about gates, when you're talking about courts, you're like, what does that mean? And God demonstrated and created a whole system that with Moses and said, "This is how I want you to build this. I want to have a place where I can meet with the high priest to represent, because only he can be the humanity between me and the rest of the people. And so I'm going to have this place, and I'm going to call it the most holy place. This is where the Ark of the Covenant would be. This is where the Shekinah glory would be. This is the place that the high priest once a year could come in, and if he was clean, that he could offer up the blood of a sacrifice onto the mercy seat, and I'll forgive the sins of the people. This is the connecting power. It was so amazing that it was the glory of God manifested in such a tangible way that there was no need of even light in that small space. It was the manifested glory of God. And when people would figure out what was going on, they tried to steal the Ark of the Covenant, because there was so much power connected to that covenant and the Ark of the Covenant that was in the most holy place. And outside of that, we have the inner court. Outside of that, we have the outer court. And so it was a progression thing. The different, based on your ministry level, you could say, for the priest, based on their responsibilities, they had different levels they could go into. It was a natural, basically, symbolism of actually what was happening in heaven. Did you know there is a mercy seat in heaven? Jesus shed his blood, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat before the throne of God. And we draw from the New Testament passage because we're not under the Old Testament Levitical law. And we see from the New Testament that there is a process that we can now boldly enter the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. So it's not separated and isolated only for the high priest, but you're called to be kings and priests unto your God, which means that you can come in into the presence of God, the anointing of God. And there is a process. And he's saying here, watch this, enter his gates with thanksgiving. You got to get to the outer court. You got to begin the process. And so many times we're waiting for God to do the completion of the miracle before we start the process of the miracle. It's backwards. It don't work out that way. You have to give God thanks before you see that little boy's lunch multiply to feed the multitude. We want God to complete it, finish it, package it, put a nice bow on it, put it on the tree, and we wake up and go, "Woo! I didn't see that coming. Thank you, Jesus." And God said, let me show you something even greater. Let me show you something even better. Let me show you how you, by the instruction of my word, as you allow my spirit to lead you, that you can start the miracle yourself.
Yes, yes.
Too many times, church, we allow coincidence to happen, and we define that just as miracles. And God's saying, listen, it's just not a matter you got a good parking spot, praise God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. But it's a matter of that God, literally in the darkness of the moment where you don't know what to do, you can do something that starts the miracle for you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates. Start the process off. Jesus began with that which was not enough, and he began to give. He held it up and said, thank you, Father. That makes no logical sense to a natural mind. Who could say, why are you giving God thank you or thanks when you don't have enough? And you can look at him and say, because you don't know the end of the story yet. I'm telling you, God is amazing. Only God can look in complete darkness and say, light. Philippians tells us that we're to be imitators of God. That means we can look at something that's not enough and say, thank you, Father, that you are more than enough. I'm starting with what it appears to be not enough, but I'm connected to someone who's more than enough. I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I enter his courts with praise. Notice this, be thankful on him. Bless his name. 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 Quit trying to promote your name. Start blessing his name. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. To understand the benefit of that, we have to understand the purpose of the names of God. Because early on, when God was revealing himself to his people, literally in their old historical documents, when they would come to reference God, they would leave it blank because it was considered God was so holy that they did not want to diminish his awesomeness by anything that could be articulated by the defined boundaries of a word. How, because words have boundaries. It's an absolute. It defines a descriptive boundary of something. But how do you give a descriptive boundary of someone who has no boundaries within themselves? How do you communicate in a title someone that does not have limitations on his power? How do you communicate with the word someone who is so vast that you could spend a million years analyzing him, yet to never come to the same thing twice, because he's so amazing. You'll always come up with a new side of God that you've never seen before. He is so good that your physical body couldn't handle the awesomeness of his goodness. That's why you got to be transformed and translated just to get into his presence when you get to heaven, because your physical body is not equipped for the level of goodness of God. See, we get so caught up on how big the devil is that we forgot that darkness might seem dark, but darkness is defined as the absence of light. Whew. There is no shadow, no turning, and he's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and all things were created by him and for him. Without him, nothing was created. He's the all-sufficiency. And so God wanted to begin to define and to describe and communicate his characteristics with his people. And so the Old Testament, you'll see different names of God. It was God trying to show them, this is, I'm your healer. I'm your peace. I'm your ever presence, Jehovah Shammah. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm your peace, Jehovah Tiskanu. I'm your Jehovah. Are you with me, Jehovah Jireh? I'm the one who's bringing provision. I'm the one who saw the need before you even knew the need existed and backed up and created provision. And now I'm here before there was a problem. I was the solution. The awesomeness of your God is beyond description. We could spend 1,000 years talking about the awesomeness of your Heavenly Father. Never come to the point that even when they would approach Jesus and say, good master, he said, there's none good but one. Don't call me even good. Like we said before, when the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper, he can say that in definite, absolute fact, because the very fact that he sees, the Bible says he sees with clarity the end as well as he does the beginning. He is in all places, and he has seen all tactics that could ever be used against you, every weapon that could be created to harm you before anybody's ever thought of it, before the devil came up with a plan to steal. And don't you think the devil doesn't have a plan to try to steal, kill, and destroy you against your life? And before the devil ever started, before he ever thought about it, God already saw it, and he made a way of, before he had a way to tempt you, Jesus said, I become the way of escape for you, because I already have been there, and I know the path to get you around it, over it, through it, to the place of victory. We got to brag on Jesus a little more, because sometimes we just get so caught up on what is happening in the world. Don't you let them change you. They come from far and wide to our little town to change you. Who are they that are many against those who are for us is greater than those against us? Don't you let their tactics and their words change who you are. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Yeah. Only with your eyes you'll see and behold the reward of the wicked. Don't you let them change who you are. When evils come near, don't let it change you to become evil. You shine and you let the enemy know that you will not change. You know the truth. You are in the light. And instead of backing up, you're shining brightly. And you're going to let the light repel the darkness. What would happen if all these people that have approached our town, many of them organized, professional, lack of better phrase, troublemakers, that don't care about anybody in our community, that don't care about anything, they have their own. What would happen? The enemy sends in people to mess and destroy our town, and all of a sudden we don't fall for it. We stand up and we start changing. We follow the word of God, not the opinions of man. Listen, are you listening? Regardless of what side of the decision or argument you're on, regardless of that, don't let them change you from who God made you to be. Don't take a step back. Did you hear me? What if we start showing love instead of hatred? We can't stop loving people because there's people that hate. If we stop loving because there's people that hate, do you know what happens? We become like them. I don't want to become like them. I don't want to be on their team because their team's not winning. At the end of the day, the Bible says we win. Stay in the light. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Start the process with thanksgiving. It begins the miracle. Jesus said, I'm giving thanks. God is good. The righteous run. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Now, why is that happening? Because God wanted to reveal, again, his nature to his people. So he began to show them who he is. And so what happens when you begin to give God thanks and to bless his name? You begin to magnify who he is. And for you to give God thanks and bless his name, listen, you literally have to position yourself in an attitude of worship. To worship him, you have to submit to him. You got to worship the Lord. Jesus said, what do you call me Lord? Don't do what I tell you to do. You know, to worship. But when you begin to worship him for who he is, not just what you've seen around you, but for who he is. you bring yourself in a position of receiving, letting it flow through you. See, some of us, we're only 5 inches away from the miracle. God's like, he's like a waterfall, and we're praying for something to drink. God said, I'm going to position. I know you want me just to redirect that waterfall to you, but let me show you something. I'm going to reposition so you see me differently. Because if you start with giving thanks to me, I'm going to allow you, and you're going to learn that regardless of the problem, you can follow this process. Will it help you that God, even when I don't understand, I might be hurting, I might be angry, I might be sad, I might want to crumble, I feel the weight of the problem, but Lord, I'm going to start not focusing on the need. I'm going to begin to focus on the source, the supply. And Lord, I'm going to start by giving you thanks. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Even when I don't feel it, I know you are good. You're walking in the house. You're walking in the house. Can you imagine someone who walked by your apartment or condo or house and they're like, man, they never even come out and see me. Maybe they didn't know you were there. Right. You walk into the house, you can see them. You can walk into the where they're at, the room they're in, you can see them. You can talk to them. Well, what are we doing? God knows where you're at, but he's already created the system. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And notice what happens. All those things. God said, listen, why don't you walk through the door? I've given you a key. You can boldly enter the throne room by the blood of the Lamb. I've given you the key. It's not by your works. It's by what he's done. If I could learn to walk through the door because of what he's done, I can learn to receive what he has for me because of what he's done. Let me say that again. If I can learn to walk through the door into his presence, not based on me, Did I pray enough this week, or did I do enough of good things? Or did I, I forgot that turkey. Oh, I bet God's not going to talk to me today. Lord, I'm so sorry for that. Lord, what do I need to do to make it up? This is not penance. Right. Come on. You're going to make it up to God. See, what keeps us out of God's presence is a lot of times we think, am I good enough? Am I qualified enough? Have I done enough today? God said, that's not what it's about. It's about everything that my son did on the cross. Because of him, you can come into my presence. And that is so important to understand, because once we get there, we can begin to experience him. Catch this. And when we experience him, we can receive from him. And we can receive from him. We've learned the same lesson that God will bless you just not because of what you did in obedience. But obedience is so important. James says, faith without works is dead. But God said, you'll remember that it is me that's giving you power. What am I telling you? That God, it can be beyond your ability, but still in your destiny. God will take you beyond yourself. Yeah. He'll heal you more than what you could do in your own. Amen. So you got to get to the place of God. I'm blessing you and I'm thanking you not because I think I can do it or, Lord, there's not enough time for me to do it. No. I'm blessing you. I'm thanking you for who you are. Yeah. And I'm entering your presence based on what you've done. And now I'm beginning to inherit and receive. By faith and patience, that means I'm inheriting just not by my obedience. It's really all about you. My obedience just opens me up to receive what you have already done and wanting to get into my life.
Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy endures your miracle something. Is found in the midst of your nothing. When you learn to start the process, I'm going to begin to give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.